The American Red Cross estimates that it contributes about 40% of the nation's blood supply. And in January, the Red Cross began sounding the alarm.
An urgent plea from the Red Cross. If you haven't donated blood, now's the time.
This is at a crisis level.
The Red Cross says these dangerously low blood supplies are forcing doctors to make difficult decisions about who gets blood transfusions and who doesn't.
Sound there from NBC 10. So there are a lot of factors contributing to the shortage. There's been a shortage of staff to conduct blood drives. There's been a 62% decline in donations from schools and churches, often the site of pop-up blood drives. And individual donors dropped by 10% as folks followed stay-at-home guidance during the pandemic. But despite the fact that we're facing such low levels, there are still segments of the population that actually have to clear extra hurdles in order to donate blood. Men who have sex with men, for example, must remain abstinent for 3 months before they are allowed to donate blood. That's a change from 2020. Back then, prior to the pandemic, the rule was they needed to remain abstinent for a full year before donating. And prior to 2015, it was actually a lifetime ban. Here to talk with us more about this, Dr. Carl Streed. He is a physician, assistant professor at the Boston University School of Medicine, and research lead for the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Streed, thanks for joining us. Okay, walk us through the actual restrictions and what's required to satisfy those restrictions to give blood. Maybe, you know, a testimonial you can give us from somebody you've encountered.
So the kind of standard walkthrough is you want to donate blood, you really want to essentially help out in this time of crisis, go to a blood donation center, you fill out a questionnaire, and it has an extensive list of questions as it relates to potential risk to the donor blood supply, particularly as it relates to certain bloodborne infections, any kind of risk that could put you, anything that could put you at risk for contracting hepatitis, and in particular contracting HIV. That's where a lot of the hang-up is the fear and stigma around HIV, and the questionnaire, it really puts that front and center. If you've had if you're a man who's ever had sex with men in the past 3 months, you are banned from donating blood in that moment. This is a major advance than during my time when I came of age, when I could not donate at all because of the lifetime ban. But this doesn't take into account the reality that it's not a good measure of risk or potential risk to the blood supply.
So what? So a couple of things. First, this came about during the early 1980s. HIV and AIDS were relatively new. Scientifically, we didn't understand everything. How much of this is legacy from, you know, the latent prejudice that remains? How much of this is rooted in science? And how much can you screen out risks for HIV? My understanding is that all the blood is tested anyway.
Exactly. So going back to the 1980s, a lot of fear, continued stigma. I mean, we can argue about, we can definitely talk about some of the issues with the administration even at that time about never actually saying HIV or saying gay. But there, that stigma has carried forward despite the improvements in technology and science. We have better tests now, whereas even just like a decade ago, the window of time from when we know somebody who has contracted HIV that they would actually test positive continues to shrink. We're actually able to get it down from, again, back from my earlier experience, thinking about donating blood, down from a 3 months window of like not knowing your HIV status or having this window period where we're uncertain, all the way down to 10 days. And we are testing every single blood donation to the donor blood supply right now to where there's no chance that somebody is not getting tested. So this serves as an additional screening factor to make sure that the blood supply is as safe as possible. And honestly, is probably, I don't want to say excessive, but it is, when it comes to HIV, we continue to treat it as an exceptional issue of concern compared to other bloodborne infections that we do test for, but don't have technology that is as robust as for HIV testing.
And statistically speaking, where we are today, it is not of more significant concern than maybe some other blood diseases, correct?
Correct. So there's been some great studies that actually came out even after the change from a lifetime ban to just a 12-month period, testing, essentially looking at the risk of HIV positive rates in the blood donor supply before and after, there was no change. because the testing is so robust and that people are actually very much self-selective about their potential risk to the blood supply. This is not the case as it relates to other bloodborne infections, such as like hepatitis C, where the window period is actually 2 months for testing. We do test the entire blood supply for that, but the risk of contracting hepatitis C from the blood supply is higher than HIV.
All right, so there's currently an effort to change the rule. Massachusetts, our Health and Human Services Secretary and the Department of Public Health Commissioner both recently signed a letter that was originated by public health officials in North Carolina calling for the FDA to abolish the rule. Public officials from at least 9 states and Washington, D.C. have signed on. We looked, Doctor, for scholarly articles arguing the counter, arguing that it is essential to maintain some level of moratorium, let's say, for 3 months. We did not find any. As a scholar who does research, did we miss them? Is there a legitimate argument to keep something like this 3 months in place?
I do not think there was a legitimate reason to keep it as 3 months. And I don't think there's a legitimate reason to keep it as 3 months for a particular group of individuals. This is very specific to men who have sex with men. This really isn't taking into account other potential risk for other individuals. This really isn't talking about sexual behavior or risk as it relates to other forms of contracting HIV. This is very much focused on men who have sex with men, and that's a problem. And that really needs to be what's abolished. And a better way of screening donors needs to be in place, something that is very specific to somebody's individual risk for contracting any kind of bloodborne infection.
Do you have recommendations for that better way of screening?
I mean, I do, but I would say that there's actually going to be better evidence even coming out soon. The FDA is supporting a very large study across a number of blood centers, including the American Red Cross. It's called the ADVANCE study, Assessing Donor Variability and New Concepts in Eligibility. They are testing new screening methods and new screening, essentially surveys, to assess the risk of somebody having a bloodborne infection, not being aware of it, and then it coming through in the blood supply, which again would still be tested. So this, fingers crossed, this new information will be coming out shortly that will really give us a clear guidance for what to do. That said, I would say just beyond the context in the U.S., though, many other countries already do this. Most of Northern Europe has removed a ban specific to men who have sex with men and use a behavior screening method as their way of doing it.
So last question, just in a sentence or two, you almost used the word hopeful. Then you didn't, or you almost used the word hope. But it does sound like you believe change is coming from the FDA. Is that true?
Yes, I think good and hopeful change is coming.
And what do you believe that will do for our worries about our blood supply for the broad, American population?
I really can't say there's going to be much that can change for people's individual concern and their stigma around this. That's going to just take time. What's really going to change is the number of people who are eligible to donate and the fact that we'll be able to address the shortage. Prior studies of men who have sex with men who were currently banned, more than half would want to donate as soon as a ban is lifted.
All right.
So it's an untapped potential.
Dr. Carl Streed, physician assistant professor at Boston University School of Medicine and research lead for the Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery at Boston Medical Center. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.